just finished walking up a flight of stairs. And had to sit down.
This is what living with long COVID sounds like.
Pretty much happens every time. I can only stand a couple of minutes. I have to sit down. Walking up the stairs or just walking to the mailbox is simply exhausting.
Stuart Smith is 62 and lives outside Portland, Oregon. He used to work as an attorney at an aviation law firm, a job he loved. Then he developed long COVID, and he hasn't been able to work full-time for a year.
You know, now I get these just horrible headaches, for one, that last sometimes 24 hours at a time. I have this very bizarre feeling in my head that crops up probably a dozen times a day that feels like there's an electrical shock going through my brain.
Mm.
I've gone through periods where it feels like the skin in my arms is burning, like I put it in the fire.
Nearly one in five Americans who've had COVID are believed to suffer from long COVID, which is when symptoms last for 3 months or longer.
New insight into one of the enduring mysteries of the pandemic.
So-called long COVID, the mysterious ailment.
Symptoms that can include fatigue and confusion that can last really for months.
Bottom line, we're not sure exactly what it is quite yet.
This mystery has been stumping doctors, it's been frustrating patients, and it's also been hurting the economy. A recent Brookings Institute study estimated that lost wages from long COVID could run as high as $230 billion a year. All of which makes long COVID more than just a mind-boggling health crisis. It's also an economic one. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Limbaugh. It's Friday, September 16th. Coming up on the show, the personal and economic pain wrought by long COVID.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
Our health columnist, Sumathi Reddy, has been tracking the story of long COVID from the beginning. Do you remember when you started to first learn about this condition?
Yes, very vividly, actually. It was about 3 months after the pandemic had started, and I think I got an email from someone saying they were still sick. And it was someone who was young and, you know, healthy, and they weren't in the hospital. And they were like, I'm not getting better. I'm actually getting worse. And they were talking about, like, how there were some patient groups that were forming online. And so I said, okay, well, can you post something, you know, in one of the groups and see, I'll see if, you know, anyone else wants to talk to me.
And people did want to talk to her. They wrote her tons of emails.
Dear Sumathi, I'm a long hauler, as I was quite healthy training for an Ironman competition and wasn't. Hello, Miss Reddy. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Greenwich, Connecticut, and I've been sick with COVID-19 for 84 days. Sumathi, I have been sick since the end of March. I am a working mom. I am 37 years old. Hi, Sumathi. I'm 26 years old, live in Manhattan, and before this, I was healthy and active with no prior illnesses. I don't have the strength to do much at this point. So yes, this is me, unfortunately. I just want my life back.
It was like email after email after email of these people who were perplexed because they were sick and getting even more sick, and they were 3 months post-infection, and they were young and healthy, and this was not expected.
And what did you think at the time?
I mean, honestly, I was a little flabbergasted. I just remember telling my editor, like, I think this is a big story. Like, I think we really have to cover this. And at the time, I had no idea whether, you know, oh, these people are going to recover in a couple months, they'll be fine, or whether this would continue and evolve into a chronic infection. And unfortunately, that is what has happened.
In the early days, there was skepticism about long COVID. Doctors were diagnosing patients with depression or anxiety, or they were looking for other explanations. That's what happened to Stuart Smith, the aviation lawyer in Oregon. He came down with COVID after attending a conference, but his symptoms lingered, so he tried to get medical help.
So I went to the doctor, thought maybe I had some virus, but yeah, probably not COVID. And, you know, new symptoms began to crop up. Kept going back to my doctor who would send me to specialists. They do lots of tests and say, you're fine, nothing to see in this particular organ system. You know, go back to your general practitioner.
And so Stuart began connecting with online patient groups.
I am a member of a number of different groups, the names of which I can't remember at the moment. I'm sorry. And that's where, you know, all the most current information comes from. Until I started working with one of the specialist long COVID doctors, I was doing all my own research.
Sumathi says these patient groups drove awareness of long COVID. Even the term long COVID was coined by a patient. And as their voices got louder, they started to get noticed.
And I remember talking to a doctor at Mount Sinai, and he started seeing a lot of these patients and being like, this is, you know, this is real. Something's happening here. And so I think slowly, like, doctors in New York started recognizing this, and then it just kind of fanned out from there.
And what is the range of these symptoms? Can you kind of tell us what the big ones are?
Yeah, so the ones that sort of pop up the most are, one is brain fog. You hear that term a lot. And that's more specifically like problems concentrating, memory issues. You know, people have problems with word recall. They can't multitask. The processing speed is slowed down. It's obviously, you know, if you're young and you have a demanding job, it's a big problem. That's a big one. Another big one is fatigue. And I'm not really talking about the kind of fatigue where you have a bad night's sleep, you take a nap, you feel better when you wake up and refreshed. This is fatigue that's very, very deep.
I've been going through some fatigue, headaches that keeps on coming in and going out. And
there's like pressure in my, in the front lobe of my brain is what it feels like. And my eyes feel like they're being pressed down on. And then the blankness and the words start going away.
I could no longer remember names, and people would tell me something and 5 minutes later, I wouldn't remember it, or I would repeat myself.
It's still unknown what causes long COVID. One theory is the idea of viral persistence, that there might be remnants of the virus lingering in the body, possibly lodged in some tissues. What are the treatments for it?
So right now, the treatments are mainly management of symptoms. So there's really no cure. There's no treatment. There's things being tested. But right now, there's really nothing.
The medical community has started investing big money toward researching and finding answers to long COVID. Last year, the National Institutes of Health committed to give out $1 billion in grants to study the condition. But for now, patients who want their old lives back are struggling.
You know, it's like they describe it as like you feel like you're not who you were before. You're grieving your old self and your old life because, you know, like probably you're never going to be that person again.
Some days, that's exactly how Stuart feels. He lives on a lake, and before his illness, he would go kayaking with his daughter or take friends water skiing. He flew a plane and liked fast cars.
Yeah, I was a normal, healthy person, doing everything that a healthy person can do. You know, doing yard work, you know, walking my dog, going to the grocery store, walking on the beach, going on hikes, traveling all over the world. You know, Anything that you can probably do, I was doing. Can't do that today. Can't really do any of those.
One day, as his long COVID symptoms persisted, something happened that really scared Stuart.
The day in January of 2021, just walking into my bathroom and I passed out and I fell. And I thought I'd broken my ankle. So my wife took me to the urgent care facility and they x-rayed my ankle and said, it's fine, but you really need to find out why you passed out. I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And sent me to the ER. And the ER doctor did the normal test to see if there was something wrong with my heart and couldn't find anything.
Stuart was sure that he had long COVID. And when a local hospital set up a long COVID clinic, he got an appointment in September last year.
And it was immediately clear to the doctor that I saw that the symptoms I had exactly matched the symptoms of people that had COVID and did not recover.
While getting a diagnosis was a kind of relief, it didn't make Stuart's day-to-day life or his work any easier. And ultimately, Stuart was about to make a big decision, one that thousands of other COVID long haulers have grappled with. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Long COVID had upended Stuart Smith's life. And in his job as a lawyer, his brain fog had become a problem.
For me, it meant an inability to find words in the middle of a sentence that would normally just come out of your brain. Or finish one sentence of a thought and completely forget the train of thought and where I was going with it. I'd be on the phone with a client, a new client, and talk to them again 2 days later, and I'd see their name on my schedule and have absolutely no idea who that person was. And fortunately had pretty detailed notes, and it would kind of come back to me what our conversation was, and I'd get on the phone and I'd see them and be able to piece things together.
So you're like faking your way through it a little bit.
A little bit. And so at a point in time, and I remember the day, it was October 4th of 2021, last year. And I walked in, it was a Monday morning, I pulled up my calendar and just kind of sank in my chair and said, I can't do this anymore. I just don't have the physical or mental energy to go through this. And, I called up the president of our company on Zoom, who was one of the people who knew what I was going through, and said, David, I just can't do this.
And how did he respond?
He was very empathetic. His response was, what can we do to help you? And I said, I just have to go home and I don't know when I'll be back.
What did that feel like?
It was like defeat for me. I mean, I didn't know that I would ever reach that point in my life or in my career.
Like many Americans afflicted with long COVID, Stuart hadn't planned on stopping work. And the fact that people have to drop out of the workforce because of this condition was something our colleague Gwynne Gilford wanted to look into. She covers the economy. What is your interest in long COVID from your beat perspective?
I'm sure you've heard these pretty awful stories of, you know, people who are going about their lives and then all of a sudden, like that, like COVID they had 4 months ago, like they can't think, like they can't read emails, they can't do math. And I mean, that's horrifying. Like just the sudden devouring of human potential. We have this situation where millions of people left the workforce, not all of them came back. And we have a good explanation for a lot of those people, like retirements and, you know, immigration, not kind of filling that hole. But the remaining people, that's like a little bit my white whale. I'm like, what is going on there? And I'm interested in long COVID because I think it is an important part of that story of what happened to these people. And given what happened to them, are they likely to come back? And that's ultimately, I think, going to be probably pretty important for how our economy fares.
This week, a new study from economists at Stanford and MIT estimated that long COVID and other COVID-related health issues shrank the U.S. workforce by at least 500,000 people.
So this was the first kind of really rigorous economic study of what COVID's impact on the labor market is. Up until now, there have been a few really important back-of-the-envelope calculations trying to get at this and mostly focused on long COVID. So 500,000 people, it's like, is that big? Is that small? It's big in the sense that that's the workforce of Delaware, you know, but it's small in the sense of like a couple million people probably retired. That's a big hit to the workforce.
And people are still developing long COVID, even with vaccines. A recent study found that vaccines only reduce the chance of contracting long COVID by 15%. Do you think you'll ever return to full-time work?
One of my colleagues asked me that last week, and I hadn't really thought about it. And my answer to him, and I think that's true, was no, I don't think I will.
Do you miss it?
I do.
For now, Stuart can muster the energy to work a few hours a week, consulting for his old firm. It's one way he's been able to keep his health insurance. But he's convinced full-time work is now behind him. This, he said, is his life now. And a recent trip to the doctor crystallized that idea for him.
I asked my doctor if I could get a handicap sticker. I didn't think that was anything I'd ever ask for. So I could park closer to the door so I wouldn't be on my feet any longer. And the doctor was agreeable and sent me the form. And on the form, there was an option for him to check. Either it's a temporary permit for 6 months or permanent. And he checked the box for permanent, which was really kind of an eye-opening experience.
What do you tell your daughter about this?
That I'm not working. She knows that I'm suffering from this. She's on the other side of the country, so she doesn't see me that often. And I haven't been able to travel to see her. She just graduated from law school and missed her graduation. She was here for Christmas, and I think I was able to, you know, rally for the time that she was here, so I wasn't just on the couch all day, every day like I usually am. But when she was gone, I was just totally wiped out for, you know, a month or more.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't know that. She will now, which is okay.
What about an interview like this? Like, how taxing will it be for you?
I'll go sleep for a couple hours after this.
Maybe it's time for us to wrap it up then.
Yeah, thanks, Kate.
Stuart, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's all for today, Friday, September 16th. Additional reporting in this episode by Lauren Weber. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Ryan Knutson and me, Kate Linebaugh. The show is produced by Melvis Acosta Crisostomo, Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Pia Gadkari, Rachel Humphreys, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nasuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Aaron Randall, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Vladislav Sedik, Pierce Singhi, Catherine Whalen, and Victoria Whitley Berry, with help from Jonathan Sanders. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner and Nathan Singapak, with help this week from Peter Leonard. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Catherine Anderson, Peter Leonard, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, Nathan Singapak, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.